Superhuman eyes. Accelerated evolution.
Today, we bring you a voice that speaks profound truths of living a life ignited by personal inspiration and spiritual wisdom. I am absolutely thrilled to welcome Reverend Julie Moret. She is an author, speaker, and coach known for her work across a wide spectrum of audiences, including Fortune 500 executives, Academy Award winners, and several New York Times bestselling authors. She's also a prominent figure at the Agape International Spiritual Center, serving both as a minister and a member of the Executive Leadership Board. Julie's journey is a testament to the power of awakening, to the brilliant potential that unfolds when we dare to ask, "What's your what?" Her book by the same name has topped reading lists, and she's also a speaker who has graced the TEDx stage with her compelling insights. Her teachings and strategies encourage us to peel back the layers of the shoulds, and in doing so, discover the vibrant, true core of our being in order to live life authentically and fully. Reverend Julie Moret, welcome to the Superhumanized podcast. I am so pleased we're connecting today. How are you?
I'm great. I love being here with you right now. Thank you.
Oh, it's my profound pleasure. And I have a request that I would like to share with you. You are, as I mentioned in the introduction, you are such an incredible speaker. You are also a minister, amongst many of your incredible accomplishments and credentials. Would you, for us to basically set the basis for this conversation, would you root us in spirit? Would you say a prayer for us, Julie?
Yes, I'd love to. And just to be clear, this isn't of any particular religion. It's spiritual. It's our connection with source by whatever name we call it. So I'm grateful to stop in this moment. I'm just so grateful to stop, to withdraw my energy from all the stuff going on outside, around, everywhere else, and become so rooted in my awareness that there is one power, one presence, one source, one life, one divine goodness that is everywhere always, that source that's responsible for lighting the stars in the sky and heating the sun and the tides and the waves and the ocean and babies being born and seeds sprouting, that one source of all life. I'm so grateful in this moment to remember that presence is everywhere. And if it's everywhere, that means it's right where I am in this moment. And as that is true for myself, I'm knowing it's true for Ariana. I'm knowing it's true for Superhumanize. I'm knowing it's true for every single person hearing the word spoken in this moment, that all are absolutely at one with this divine source. There is no separation, never can be. And so it's from this place of absolute unification that I'm grateful to realize already that this time of sharing is so highly purposeful. It's so highly beneficial. It is transformative. There is something snap, crackling, and popping within the cells of each one tuning in that in this moment, each one becomes more remembered unto themselves. Something wakes up. Something is remembered about our uniqueness, about our purpose, about our passion, about our absolute divine right to be whole and healthy and prosperous and abundant and filled with love. And all that neural information gets into our neural pathways and into our brain thinking and our structures, and everything gets remembered and rewired simply by hearing truth spoken. The reflection of it, the remembrance of it is so powerful that I'm knowing already there is transformation occurring, there is awakening occurring, there are divine right partnerships and housing and relationship and jobs, employment, all things becoming more clear and coherent within the body, mind, temple, the physical lives of each one tuning in. And so I just give great gratitude for this Superhumanized podcast, for the reach that has, the scope that it has to be a beneficial presence on the planet. And with great gratitude, I allow it to be, saying, and so it is.
And so it is.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Julie. Mm-hmm. This is, we share a spiritual home. Agape has become my spiritual home here in Los Angeles. And it has rooted me so firmly also in spirit and also in my purpose. And that is one of the biggest questions we face as individuals or as a human family. What is our purpose? And this is also what you focus on in your beautiful book, What's Your What? So I would absolutely love your perspective, Julie, on what purpose is.
Oh, just that? Little old question. Like, what's my purpose? I wrote What's Your What? And the intention behind it was to figure out how do we become self-inspiring? And then how do I develop the tools and practices to stay inspired, to get back on track when I fall off, which happens, and to take that inspiration from a feeling tone into actualization, into manifesting. And so for me, when it comes to clarifying, like, what's my purpose, there are a few different angles to look at it from. And one of them is to just take note of what brings you life, what brings you joy, what feels fun, what creates that flow state. A flow state is when we do something, and it can be work, it can be challenging, but the hours pass like minutes. You might break a sweat, but it's a great feeling. It's being well used. And I would say to hone in on what are the qualities. We speak at Agape International Spiritual Center, which is founded and directed by Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith. We speak about what are the qualities that you most want to, are most drawn to, and most want to share. And qualities, I call them qualities of God, are things like peace, love, joy, prosperity, power, strength, integrity, justice, freedom. And so we all have certain qualities that we resonate with most. And when you start to notice what those qualities are, those are usually a good ticket in to your purpose. Like when I was a teenager, for no reason that made any sense, I started sleeping with a picture of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. under my pillow at night. And I've spoken about this in my book quite a bit. I wasn't particularly raised with his teachings, but there was a resonance. So that's what we're looking for. What do you have strong resonance with? There's one of the ministers at Agape, Reverend Arlene. Hers is beauty. She just, anywhere she goes, she wants to beautify. So what are the things that you're drawn to? And as a result, when we practice with earnestness and sincerity, we become like a magnet. Our energetic frequency starts to magnetize towards us people, places, circumstances, and events that are matching that quality. That gives us the opportunity to share our gift. So there are lots of examples of this in my book, What's Your What, of that through line with Dr. King and how I met my husband and so many other things. But at this point, I actually work with the King family, with Martin Luther King III, and it was from no efforting on my part. They happened to see me in services at Agape. And so that's a simple example of, I had this feeling, probably seemed ridiculous, like I just felt I needed to sleep with a picture of Dr. King under my pillow. And I never tried. I wasn't angling. I wasn't manipulating. I was just earnest and sincere. And that earnestness and sincerity led me to Agape, to working very closely with Michael Beckwith, who's had a beautiful relationship with the King family and Coretta Scott King. And now I do. And that's how I think it works. You start to pay attention to, what do I have resonance with? What feels good? Where is there flow, where the hours pass like minutes, where I'm working hard, but it's a very rejuvenating work. And then things start to unfold. Pause there. There's more to say, but if you want to follow up with anything else or go in any different direction.
I am following you intently, Julie. I just want to interject briefly. I find it's so beautiful what you're saying, that when we are in resonance, when we really follow that vibratory signature, just go with the flow of that, what we are called to bring into being, what we're called to manifesting, actually also is looking for us, is also manifesting us. And when we get into that same frequency, there is no way that it won't happen, that it won't somehow attract.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I've learned really in the last handful of years is that I'll explain it this way. So growing up, I used to see angels and spirits and do astral travel. And I spent a lot of my early life trying to get there, wherever there is. It was some other place, but certainly it couldn't be here on earth, is what I thought as a young child. Like I was always trying to get back to that place. And what I'd come to realize is there is no there. It's all here. It's like we, humanity, the planet actually, is a great big radio. And it's just a matter of what radio station are we choosing to tune into. I can choose to tune into, and often do, the radio station of fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, stress, freak out, whatever. But now at least I have the tools when I get into that zone to go back to a frequency that's more what I do desire. So it was like I was tuning into the channel of freedom, and that channel, that frequency that was so earnest within me kept leading me back over and over again to right people, places, circumstances, and events. So it's really, for me right now, the main thrust is about utilizing tools to get me into that radio station, that frequency that is what I do desire as opposed to what I do not desire. We're really good at knowing what we don't want. But the deal with that is the more I focus on what I don't want, because the subconscious mind can't comprehend a negative. So it's, if I say, don't think of a purple elephant with a pink bikini on, it's the first thing we'll all think of. So it's about focusing on what we do desire. And it's really discipline. Michael Beckwith was speaking about this at services 2 weeks ago, where he was talking about inspiration is that thing that gets us in the door. It's that, but it's the discipline. It's the daily work. So for me, the daily work is doing what I need to do to keep myself on that radio frequency of what I do desire, because we live in a culture that is depleting, that is distracting, that's numbing out, that craves normalcy and compliance. And so what are the things, what can I do to help me stay strong and bold and clear and bright in who I am? And that's a big challenge, especially when we've got these little smartphone things that are constantly distractions. Like, what's the practice? What do we do? What's the discipline to keep returning home to ourselves and to our uniqueness?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Julie. And what you shared about your childhood, seeing angels and being aware of place somewhere, probably a frequency, that resonates a lot with me. And something that also 2 weeks ago at the service that Reverend Michael said that really hit home with me and connected to what you just shared was that we are not here to return to whatever you call it, source, goddess, the universe. We're not here to return to source. We are here to represent source, right? So, and in order to do so, we need to, these are your words, unblanket ourselves from anything that keeps us from really shining our uniqueness, and that our uniqueness is our obligation to this world. And what you just said, Julie, that yes, we need to calibrate ourselves to the frequencies that allow us to do. Could you share some practical things, practices with us on how to do so, on how to cultivate and maintain this inspiration and clarity in the daily life amongst all the things?
So I actually have a new answer for that now, because prior to maybe the last 5, 6, 7 years, it was really earnestness, sincerity, spiritual practice. And now I'm layering in something else really out of necessity. I think it was mostly born through the pandemic, when I realized how much our central nervous systems drive the show of our lives, and that in order to be in a clear thinking brain state, there are things I need to do to soothe my survival brain, to regulate my emotional brain. And so these are very practical, doable tools that help us move into a place where we can effectively create what we want in our lives. And it's really not possible when these other two pieces, when the survival brain and the emotional brain are out of whack. We might have moments, like I had moments of greatness before, but I didn't have an internal infrastructure strong enough to sustain it. Now I've got tools that keep me strong inside. So when something awesome comes, I can embrace it. And I know how to keep myself strong whether things are going beautifully or whether I'm in a challenge. So to very simply share this, it's a neuroemotional therapy, and it's an understanding that we have three primary brain states. We've got our survival brain, our emotional brain, and our clear thinking executive brain. That's the sweet spot. That's where the solution to every issue humanity faces already resides. We have that within our collective consciousness. In order to get to that clear thinking brain state, my survival brain has to be soothed, okay? And the survival brain, that's fight, flight, freeze, appease. It's a very important aspect of our brain functioning. If I'm wandering through an African savanna and a lion starts to size me up for lunch, I want a strong fight instinct. I want a flight instinct. I want to be able to take an action that makes sense. So the problem with survival brain is that when it runs in a chronic, low-grade state. And for many people, if you've been through childhood trauma or if you've gone through challenges, it's easy to stay in that kind of hypervigilance of waiting for the other shoe to drop. And so the way that we help soothe down that survival brain so we can have effective actions is first as a regulating breath. So for whoever's listening to this in this moment, it's very simple and quite impactful. A regulating breath is a swift breath in through the nose and then slow, slow out through slightly parted lips. So whatever you're doing, whatever you're in, even if you don't feel like you're in a survival state right now, this gives us more capacity to deal with life as life is lifing, and life is always lifing. So we'll do it a couple times and just notice if you feel a shift. So it's a swift in through the nose and then slow, slow out through slightly parted lips. And now let's invite a little sound to rumble out from low down in the belly on the exhale. So swift in through the nose. And as we do, that sound kind of breaks up any coagulated thoughts or emotions, and it helps us become more free and available to the moment. So a good regulating breath is one way to soothe out the survival brain. Another thing, I've shared this before, is called self-petting. It's a horrible name, but you basically take one hand at the top of the opposite shoulder, slowly rub it down the entire length of the other arm. And when you do this for about 30 seconds, it actually triggers the release of oxytocin. That's the happy hormone. That's the bonding hormone. It sends a chemical message throughout our body. Like, you're okay. You're going to be all right. You're going to make it. I got you. I'm with you. I support you. So that's a whole conversation on how we can soothe the survival brain. There are a lot of other tools for that. I keep a lot of that stuff on my Instagram page. I could share that later. So that's one thing, is to soothe out the survival brain. The next is the emotional brain. And that's giving ourselves the bandwidth to take the time, like every day, it's emotional hygiene, to just notice, what am I feeling? And we're, as a human being, we go through dozens, maybe hundreds of feelings a day. That's normal. And just in this moment, as you're listening, just notice, what are the different feelings? And I like to start with a physical body check-in. So I notice how my body's feeling, if there's any places of tightness, any discomfort, any looseness. Like, I just do a physical inventory. And then what are the feelings? I feel bubbly. I feel happy. I feel some hope. I had a little bit of sadness. I feel enthusiasm. Like, we have everything. We're humans. We've got it all the time. And so just take that moment. And when we do these things, when we take the time to soothe our survival brain, to regulate the emotional brain, that lets us rise into our clear thinking, creative, solution-oriented brain state. And that's where you get the brilliant genius ideas. That's where it's like, oh, I got to start a podcast. It's superhumanized. That's my thing. That's where you get the brilliant ideas of, it's time to write that book. It's time to make that phone call. It's time to send a text. It's time to paint that painting, dance that dance, sculpt that sculpture, start that business, be an entrepreneur, become a healer, whatever it is. When we get those inspirations, then that's where they're able to pool inside of us, is in that clear thinking executive brain state. So as a part of a daily practice, is just taking, it could take 5-10 minutes, just taking that time, a nice regulating breath, taking a couple moments, feel the feelings, just notice what they are. It's not about fixing them. You can't fix a feeling, but as Dr. Dan Siegel says, felt feelings flow on. So just by noticing, oh, what am I feeling right now? It helps it flow on. And then when we pop into our clear thinking brain state, that's our connection. And that's where we start to get like these brilliant ideas. Oh, I'm going to do this. Oh, that. Oh, that. And so then at the next point, that's where you want to have a structure in place to help us actualize the inspiration. Mm. So for me, part of that structure would be I have accountability buddies. So when an inspiration comes to me, I have a couple people that I work with and we'll text on a daily basis. I'm getting ready October 10th. I'm doing the trek to base camp on Mount Everest and I am training and I have two different people that I'm texting with every single day. Okay, this is the food, this is the hydration, this is the strength training, the flexibility, all the things. And that's helping me anchor a dream, an inspiration, right? So I would offer that up to whoever's listening right now, become aware of what feels exciting or juicy or compelling, or what's the want, what's the desire, what's the dream? Mm. And then to think of, to become open and available, like what's one baby step today and who's on your team? What's the team, right? Agape is part of my team. Reverend Michael is part of my team. And that's not even like on a personal level. It's just by tuning in that helps me stay at a heightened frequency. So that would be the question I would pose to those listening is, what do you do on a regular basis that helps you rise into a higher frequency, an energetic frequency? It could be listening to Superhumanize, all the different people that have been up here, saying, as Reverend Michael says, saying the same thing in a lot of different ways. We're all teaching the same things. It's how to become more of our true self, how to shine brighter, how to be actualized in this lifetime. So to surround ourselves with that kind of upliftment that keeps us on that radio station of inspiration and awakening. You have to cut me off. I really can go.
No. I love it, Julie. Thank you so much. And yes, to stay on this radio station, to sing our song, to dance our dance, to take the first steps. I'm really fascinated by what you just shared. So you are getting ready actually for Mount Everest this October?
Yes. Yes.
Incredible.
I'm doing the trek to base camp. And it's so interesting to me because I have had, this is what I shared about that picture of Martin Luther King Jr. under my pillow. I have had a fixation about Mount Everest for as long as I can remember. Read the books, seen all the films, all the documentaries, and I didn't know why. I still don't really know what it is about it. Reverend Michael says it's like a metaphor for the mountain I'm climbing in my lifetime, which feels really good to me. And I'm going to be there. Like I'm going there. And I don't know what this is fully about, but I just have learned to become very obedient to the pull of my soul. And it's that sincerity and earnestness that just never leaves me astray. So I never even thought it was possible that I could be on Mount Everest. And then I saw this documentary and I just started getting some interest. I started getting some skill. I started training. And so one thing led to another. And now there's a plan and it's on.
That's excellent, Julie.
And so I have my team around me to help me stay on track.
And I'm really curious about this because Mount Everest is not like hiking here somewhere in beautiful Los Angeles. I imagine that the preparation for this physically, mentally, emotionally, the nutrition, the training is quite specific and quite intense. So what are some of the benchmarks that you have set for yourself in order to know, yes, I will be capable of doing this? Are there certain...
Yes. And that's helpful even for those listening. Like you can think about your own goal or what your own dream is. I'm going through this. Just think about what are your benchmarks? For me, it never even would have been a possibility, but I was training with Shaman Alberto Vieira a few years back. He wrote Shaman, Healer, Sage, some beautiful books. And there was a journey being organized to climb Mount Aslangate in Peru. And I never thought of myself as a mountain climber. I don't really like walking up. I don't like cold weather. I like all the creature comforts and so forth. But shamanism is my jam. That is thrilling to me. And the idea of doing this mountain trek, it wasn't the mountain trek that got me excited. It was spending 8 days with shaman and really going deep. So that got me in the door. And it was hardest thing I've ever done. And I was grossly, woefully unprepared for it, but I did it. So I climbed that mountain. I got to about 16,000 feet in elevation. I camped out. It was like 30 below, all the things. It was a very intense experience, but that's one benchmark. So in my mind, it's okay, I did that. I can do this. This is bigger. I'll be on the mountain for about 14 to 16 days. It's pretty intense. But that was one benchmark that said, okay, I can do pretty high altitude. I can hike for several hours a day. And so now what I'm doing is really training myself so that I can do this experience and feel better. I really was hurting a lot on that mountain. So I've been doing a lot of training and I'm a million times stronger than I was when I did Mount Aslangate. And I'll be, so as benchmarks, I've been in the mountains twice in the last couple of months. I'm going to be four more times at very high altitude before I actually go to Everest. So for those listening, just take a moment and think, what's your goal? What's your dream? What are some of the things that you have already been through? Let's do this. You have already done something, been somewhere, accomplished something. And since you were already able to do that, become aware of all the other things that are now possible to you. Like I did Aslangate and it let me know that other things are possible. So become aware, what have you already done? Because you already have in play people, experiences, opportunities, skill sets. You already have something in play. It would not come to you if it were not for you. It would not come to you. Somebody needs to hear this three more times. It would not come to you if it were not for you. So let's start by becoming aware. You can even make a list. I've done this in my phone many times of all the different things that are already in play for you. What kind of people do you know? What skill set? It could just be willingness. Like maybe you're just starting with willingness, but I would imagine there's more than that to it. Mm-hmm. And so that's like a great beginning step, I think.
Beautiful. And I am so excited for you, Julie. I will be, what are the dates in October?
October 10th, and I'll be gone for 3 weeks, close to a month, actually. It's a whole, there's a lot of acclimatizing in there.
Wonderful. I'll be keeping all my fingers and toes crossed for you.
Yeah. So for those listening, my Instagram is Rev Julie Moret, and I'm going to share this experience every step of the way because I'm going to have to use my full set of tools because it's not just physical, it's mental and it's emotional. And at this point in the game, I started sharing a little bit about neuroemotional technique. There are going to be so many ways that I have to use these tools and that we all use tools when we're going after being who we came here to be. How about you? What are some of the things that you put in place before you went out on a limb and started a big podcast? Or what have been some of your benchmarks?
Oh, gosh. Some of my benchmarks have been, and you've spoken about this too, Julie, and I just want to take a brief moment to acknowledge you. You embody such a resounding yes to the possibilities, to the best in ourselves, and to the best that we can bring out, not only in ourselves, but also in community and the world. And I just sincerely, from a distance, adore you for it.
Thank you.
And absolutely. And so one of my benchmarks was really in order to get to this resounding yes, to this place of a yes for myself, yes for the possibilities, I needed to actually learn about the no. And this is something you also talked about. You, in your words, it's grow your no. I remember when I was a little girl and also a young woman, I did not really have a no. It was the way I grew up. It was the way I was culturally conditioned. I had a super hard time saying no to things, people, places, experiences. It was all about appease, right?
Yes.
My stress states is freeze and the peas.
Yeah.
So that for me was really a major thing, to learn not only how to grow my no, but how to comfortably sit with my no and how to love my no. When I remember how many times as a young woman, I would just smile and say or act out yes, when really everything deeply inside myself screamed no. Oh my goodness, I just want to rush back in time and give myself the biggest hug. And that's also one of my big missions now, to support others into reconnecting with their no, so they can live their yes fully and unencumbered by what may be put on us or forced on us from the outside. So instead of being a yes girl or a go girl, I am proudly a no woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I heard a quote a while back. I think it was Warren Buffett. Oprah has said the same thing, accrediting their success more to the number of no's that they made than to the number of yeses, because mm-hmm. the number of no's, those released out things that would have been distractions or depleting or draining. And that's a really powerful stance, to be able to grow your no and say no when it's needed, when it's warranted. So Exactly. Definitely a powerful thing to be able to do, is to be able to have a no and stand in it. And I totally understand there's a lot of conditioning around appeasing and pleasing and all of that. And something that I am very grateful for, I grew up similarly to you. Like, I had absolutely no in my vocabulary, and no didn't feel safe. I didn't want to offend anybody, that kind of thing. And so that even carried into my relationship with my husband, where we're both like beautiful appeasers. We're just lovely at appeasing each other. And we got to the point where we were like, that's not working for us anymore. Like, that unspoken contract when we first came together, I'll just pretend to love everything you love and you pretend to love everything I love, and we're done with it. And he is a safe person for me to practice a no with. And we've actually even communicated about it, because I'll say, I want to share something with you. And I wait till he is in a clear into that executive brain state. So I would never share something when he's in like survival brain or emotional brain, because it won't land. So there's a whole lot more with that neuroemotional work that's very effective in relationships. So when he is in a clear thinking state, that's when I get my courage up to share a no. And he is now safe enough to me to understand it's big for me. A lot of times, this might sound so silly, but I'll cry. Like, even with my son, like, it's so foreign to my nervous system to have a no, that sometimes if it's a really big one, I'll cry, I'll get like really nervous. But I have people around me now that are safe for me to practice and build that muscle as I grow my no. And what I'm realizing is, every time I do it, it's like this huge victory, and my nervous system gets so pumped up, like, yes, and I feel stronger, and then I'm better able to have a no out in the world, and it compounds. And yeah, if for those listening, if that's an area that hasn't been like strong inside of you or wasn't really cultivated, to practice it in safe spaces, and even like, I tell the people closest to me just no at this point, that it's vulnerable. So you can't shoot me down if I'm going to have my no. Like, you got to be able, I need somebody that can respond effectively in my inner circle. And what that does is it helps me be stronger when I go out in the world. And I've become pretty good at my no. Better. Yeah.
Beautiful. I love that. What's been really helpful for me as well is diving into neuroscience, into how our brain works. And so also being aware of that, where my pleaser, so to call, gets, that's actually a very specific area of the brain that's different from where the executive, the calm, the Jedi mind, so to speak, sits. And the more I practice the nose in a safe space with safe people, the stronger that area of my brain gets, and the more the pleaser, the neural pathways of the pleaser atrophy.
Yes. Yeah, there's something in there that just really resonated with me. There's a technique that I've used quite effectively for myself and with others, where I'll redo an event our subconscious mind can't discern between a real event or an imagined event. And this I did naturally as I was growing up and in my young adulthood. I just thought I was like I would manifest so much and I didn't understand what I was doing. But that power of visualization and the power of there's an equation, thought plus emotion equals creation. When we have a thought about a thing and we juice it up with a lot of feeling tone, that's creative. That's the good news, bad news, because it's creative. If we're thinking about something that's wonderful, it's creative in that way. But if we're stewing on negativity, it's creative in that way. And so I think the power of like, I'll do a redo. If there was something in my childhood that I didn't like, I went back and imagined with all my feeling tone, redoing the whole situation in a way that was for my highest good, greatest growth, in a way that I was incredibly supported and taken care of. And like, I've done this work with Fortune 500, Fortune 20 executives, where they would call in Glinda the Good Witch. Like, we'd go back in time and something happened in childhood and they'd bring in this one top executive would bring in Glinda the Good Witch. And we redo the whole thing in a way that presence was right there with her the whole time, guiding her, supporting her, and infusing her. And then it creates this kind of chemistry in our bodies and it creates a whole new neural pathway. So it can be something that really happened or it can be something that we imagine. Thought plus emotion is the secret sauce equals creation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing to play around with for folks listening. Even the fact that I'm a regular speaker at Agape now, I remember I never angled towards it. I never tried for it, but I had this fantasy. And I just remember I would just fantasize like being up there and being like that full tilt on and alive. And I remember like I was fantasizing and I got a phone call from Michael Beckwith asking me to speak at a time when, you know, people weren't being asked. It wasn't common to have a guest unless they had like best-selling books and were super famous. And I didn't have either of those at the time. And so it was like, that was the power of thought plus emotion equals creation. And then just a little discernment on that is to focus on the qualities that we desire as opposed to the outcome. So I wasn't thinking like, I want to be on that stage at that time in that place. I just wanted to shine that bright. That was all I was focusing on, was light, beaming light, brilliant light. And as you're listening, to be aware of what's the goal, but I wouldn't hang it off of, if you want to call in a partner on, you know, this height, that weight, that bank account, like those kinds of things. What are the qualities? What are the qualities that you want to call in? Joy, peace, love, prosperity, abundance, wholeness, health, freedom, justice, integrity, righteousness, ecstasy, bliss. That's what we lock in on.
Yes.
That was a lot. This is like a hodgepodge of so many things.
I love it. My brain and my heart are dancing with each other.
I'm right there with you.
And this conversation with you, this connection, the community matters so much in order to transmit inspiration, to transmit emotions. There's a symphony between self and community. And for example, your work with Agape, it underscores a profound truth that our journey inwards to our highest self, to the best expression of self, to our uniqueness, is often inextricably linked to our journey together, to community. Mm-hmm. So how in these times, especially where for many of us, it seems like there's a disconnection, right? And there seems so much at stake. We're in this constant state of fight or flight, unless we can soothe ourselves and get ourselves down. But if we're hooked in front of the TV all day, it's a hard thing to do. But that being said, how in this day and age can we curate a supportive community?
Yeah, that's really key, right? It's very key. I think I would go back to noticing what you're drawn to. Where is passion? Where is desire? If somebody is really into dancing, then you get into a ballroom dance group, or you find places, people that resonate. The Agape Spiritual Center, I just resonate with so much. So that's what led me there. And that was a really big thing for me, because my identity prior to really engaging with Agape is I fly solo. Like, I'm a very independent, on my own, think I can do everything on my own kind of person. And so it's been like a whole experience to become part of a community. I never really thought of myself that way. And because I let myself have this, so that's, I feel like that's the message for somebody listening right now, is that willingness to let yourself have it, to let yourself have community, to let yourself have support. It's taken me, Reverend Michael and I spoke in South Korea this past summer. I was with the Kings at the 60th anniversary March on Washington in DC. I've taught in Costa Rica. Like, all these experiences, they wouldn't have happened if I'd stayed solo, just trying to do it on my own. So my suggestion for somebody listening is, maybe the first step is to find where there's resonance. Where's their alignment? What do you really resonate with? And then find out what organizations, what groups, where's their connection there? How about you? What would you do to suggest to help people find? For me, it's like finding a tribe. Like, Agape is my tribe. That's why I keep bringing it up. And now I have, they're different tribes that we have for different things, right? I've got like my mountaineering tribe, and I've got my shamanism tribe, and my health and food and fitness tribe. So yeah, I think following where there's resonance is a big piece, but it means taking an action. It really does. It's not going to just happen.
No, it means taking action. I love how you curate all these different tribes. It's very similar for myself. I have these beautiful different tribes. I find that so fulfilling and also so important, because it also generates different perspectives on life. And it helps me avoid to sit in a complete echo chamber. And taking action is vitally important. So for myself, about a little over a year ago, I was thinking, gosh, I would really like a close-knit community of women who uplift each other, share, who are safe space for each other. And so a very dear friend of mine, here's a shout out to Luba and I, so we just created that. We created a women's circle, and we've been meeting for over a year now, twice a month. Ma Circle is what it's called. And it is this safe space, see each other, to hear each other with open arms, without judgment, just full of love, and to uplift each other and also to support each other. And it has been absolutely life-changing for all of us in so many different ways. So that is something that was such a beautiful learning experience as well. When you are desirous of something, mm-hmm. how about you just, out of what this desire that you have, to pour it into the world and create it?
Yes.
Instead of looking for it, create it. And that is so powerful. And the most beautiful things come out of that.
So is yours virtual, or is it in person? Is it virtual also?
We meet in person, so it's really lovely. We meet at different women's homes or venues, and we're also now looking to expand it and also offer it virtually, because we've had quite some interest out of different cities and different countries. And so, yeah, we're looking to shine that light even brighter and even bigger. And it's exciting, tiny little bit daunting, but that's good.
Yeah. That flow state where it can be like nervous or scary, but there's that thing, that's something that's like compelling you. So I'm just like putting it out there to get the virtual going, because I think it'll be a great gift to a lot of people. It really will. That's beautiful. And I thought of something else. There is, do you know Pat Fenn? Do you know who
I don't.
He is? He does the announcements sometimes at Agape. He has a company, an organization called Rubicon Results. And it's teams of people. They're all around the world. Like, when I did it, there were, I think, 10 or 12 people on the team. And my partner was in Milan. And you do goal setting. And you, for 10 weeks, I think, you check in with each other. And there's all these different practices. But that's another example of, inspiration is the one thing. Like, you have this desire to create something for women. But then what is it going to take to help bring the inspiration into manifestation? So, like, with Pat, when I did the Rubicon Results, that's when I wrote my first book. Like, it just helped me anchor it. As I always love to anchor things with tools, so it's not, people have something to do. And so whether it's you find a program like that or whether you get into Ariana's women's group as she makes it virtual or whatever it is that we create, even if you tap a friend and say, hey, can we buddy up and let's check in every day? Let's set a goal for the week. Let's all these things. For me, it's very helpful because mm-hmm. I get great ideas. And then for me, I need the help in bringing it into fruition.
Yes, the same applies to me. Yeah. Otherwise, these beautiful ideas die somewhere.
Right. They don't die. Somebody else picks them up.
Yes.
I had this friend one time, I am telling you, he would come up with a great movie idea. He would come up with a great idea for a Starbucks thing. And every time, it just took him a long time to get a plan. And in the interim, one time the movie was made by Steven Spielberg. And then Starbucks started doing the thing. So it's our thoughts, our inspirations are in the collective consciousness. And when it comes to us, it's, hey, I'm a great idea. Want to come? I'd like to come through you. Are you interested? And if we say yes, boom, it launches. And if we don't act on it, it's going to launch through somebody else.
Yes. 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 I have witnessed exactly what you're talking about as well. It is so true because these beautiful ideas, they want to be born into this world. And why wouldn't it be you or I or you, the listeners or viewers, that idea comes to you, just take it by the hand and run it into this world.
Yeah. And I know we're going to be wrapping up soon. One more thing, if I may. I do a lot with, I like the idea, I speak about this in What's Your What a good bit in my book, rigging your environment so it becomes self-inspiring. For those listening, you become aware of what wants to emerge in your life. What are you calling in? Divine right relationship, partnership, purpose, passion, prosperity, wholeness, health. And then how can I rig, whether it's colors, quotes, pictures, sounds, symbols in my immediate space, that trigger the feeling tone of that quality that I'm calling in, right? There's a little bit of a feng shui aspect to that. Like when somebody wants a partner, you make sure you have two night tables, like on each side of the bed, like you're an empty drawer, you're creating space for a beloved. It's that kind of thing. Like I have quotes of different people that I've been fortunate to work with that I admire, who like Marianne Williamson said something really exciting to me one time and I wrote it down and it's in my office. Same with Michael Beckwith. So like those kinds of things that on my days when I'm like, why am I doing any of this? I should just go eat ice cream. Like on those days, it's, oh, somebody that I really dig saw me and it helps me remember and see myself. So that's a nice kind of parting gift for those listening. At a minimum, think of one thing, a quote, a picture, a color, something you could place in your environment that helps you remember who you are, right?
Yes, beautiful. Thank you so much, Julian. Thank you so much for your time and your loving presence and your wisdom that you've shared with us today. People who want to connect with you on a deeper level, how can they do so? Where can they find you?
I think the best way right now is Rev Julie Moret on Instagram. I'm going to be teaching a class at Agape called The Frequency Factor in July. I'm super excited about it. And then I'll post guided practices and tools on a pretty regular basis. So that's a great kind of starting place for me. Yeah.
I'll make sure to put that in the show notes as well. And I'm going to keep my eyes out for the frequency class.
Yes, I would love to have you in it. That'd be really fun.
Absolutely. Again, so much gratitude to you, Julie, and I'm wishing you a beautiful rest of the day.
Thank you. You too. Thank you so much.
Hey, everyone. If you're as passionate about transforming your life and reaching your peak performance as I am, I invite you to join my newsletter. Think of it as your weekly dose of inspiration and knowledge to supercharge your journey to becoming superhuman. Start optimizing mentally, physically, and spiritually today. Just head over to superhumanize.com/newsletter and sign up. Trust me, your future self will thank you.